What's going on, everyone? It's Isis Daniel, also known as the Millennial Psalm, and we're here for Tasting Thursday. And today, we will actually be going back in time with my interviews, y'all, because now we are not the Millennial Psalm podcast, but we are actually Tasting Thursday podcast. I decided to rename this podcast and also change the date because I just felt like it was time. I thought with all that I do on Tasting Thursdays with our live TikTok tastings at 6 o'clock, and then also sometimes we'll have our interviews at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Instagram, I thought that this would be a better fit simply because, you know, I'm known for my Thursday takeover. So I was like, you know what? We're going to move it on over. All right. But we also have some interviews that we will feature throughout this season that actually was recorded last year. When I went to France, I had my own plan of how things were going to go, and the technology just was not technology-ing. Okay. Catch the drift, make fun, laugh, but just don't be mean to me. I said what I said. So because I had such a hard time with that, I decided to, you know, incorporate some of our older podcasts that I recorded last year throughout the season. But don't worry, we're not going to stay in the past. We do have some fun episodes. Like next week, we will have TJ and Hadley Douglas from the Urban Grape on, and we have some great conversation, y'all. Y'all get excited. But today we will be talking to Chastity Cooper, my girl, the new author of Wine Convo Generator. Make sure you guys go out and support and get her book. Of course, all of the links will be in the description below and also in my link. So please go ahead, make sure that you guys click the link in all of my descriptions online on social media, or just scroll down to the description on this podcast so that you guys can support a Black woman making strides in this here industry. Let's get it. Okay. but today, in honor of Chastity, we are going to feature a wine called Her, H-E-R. It's a 2023 Chenin Blanc. The Her wine collection is sourced, made, produced, and distributed by a team of dynamic Black women in South Africa. Can we get some love for that? Okay, we love to see it. but without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into this jingle. So if you know the song, you better sing along. Tasting Thursday. Giddy. Tasting Thursday with your girl, the Millennial Psalm. I am she is me, and we are here for another Tasting Thursday. Let's get into it. Chastity Cooper is a Chicago-based award-winning writer, speaker, and wine culture expert. She has articles and features published outlets such as Wine Enthusiast, Vine Pair, Food and Wine Magazine, Chicago Tribune, and has also executed several creative partnerships with notable wine and spirit brands. Her passion lies at the intersection of breaking barriers when it comes to wine and telling thoughtful stories about wine, from how we engage with it culturally to where we engage with it socially, and more specifically, how Black and Brown people excel in the wine space. Ultimately, her goal is to make wine more accessible and relatable to every palate through storytelling and cultivating spaces for people to enjoy wine and grow their communities. How you doing, Chastity? What's going on, girl?
I'm doing well. How are you, Isis?
I'm excited. Now, y'all, we've been talking for a little bit, and I'm so excited to have Chastity on because, you know, she's my girl. But we have a very interesting connection because we both came up in this wine social media, of course, Chastity being journalism, but honestly, girl, she got her content out there too. Let's go. but we both came into the wine industry around 2020, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
I would say I really started taking, I would confirm 2020 kind of as like the takeoff for me, but I have been writing freelance since 2016. And then I started to hone in on wine probably around like 2018. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but like it really took off for me the summer of 2020. And like, we've talked about this, you know, before how during,
said during that time.
Yeah. During that time, the whole world was you know, one, we were inside facing a global pandemic, but also this racial reckoning across all sectors and industries. And so the wine industry was like, oh, we see Black people, I guess. Like, yeah, sure. But in that summer, I remember doing a story for Imbibe magazine for their print issue. And it's still one of the stories I'm the most proud of. But it was challenging at that time to talk to individuals like Andre Mack and Julia Coney and Tahira Habibi and TJ and Hadley at Urban Grape in Boston, just talking about what it means to take up space in wine and have been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden we're talking about race in such a visceral way, especially in this industry. And you have people, you know, just now being like, oh, let me support Black wine. Baby, we've been here. We've been doing mm-hmm. this. And so as proud as I am of that piece, I remember at that time just wanting to honor these individuals who've been doing this work for decades. TJ, who's been in the industry for over 20 years, same with Andre and people like Brené, who are just paving the way for Black women in farming, mm-hmm. like in wine agriculture. And then people like Tahira and Julia, who, you know, have taken it upon themselves to really be like, hey, Black people can thrive. Black and brown people can thrive in this industry. And here is how you go about it in a way where you're not, dare I say, exploiting us or taking advantage of us, and really just like providing us with the opportunity to excel in this field. So I would say, yeah, 2020 was really what kicked off my wine writing journey and really my wine just overall experience. I was taking WSET at that time, both 2 and 3. Insane.
Mm-hmm. Been there, girl. It's wild out here.
Psycho behavior. But also doing a lot of tastings, which virtually I found to be exhilarating. I was, you know, using a different set of skills to pair things, to talk about wine, to make it relatable for everyday people. And so I think, you know, as we're talking now and as I'm in this kind of like rediscovery phase of how I want to show up in this industry, I'm finding that I have to kind of go back to mm-hmm. what attracted me to this industry in the first place, what excites me about wine, what continues to excite me about wine, and what are the questions that people are asked, like what are the common questions I'm getting all the time as it relates to wine. So it's like a, you know, discovery zone, if you will.
Right, but you know what? Because I want to jump in there, because what you are saying, it's actually bringing a few different videos that I've been seeing circulate on social media. We are on the quote unquote come down of the impact of 2020, right? Where there were a lot of initiatives to be more inclusive with the BIPOC community and all of that. But to me, it kind of seems that we are approaching this glass ceiling where all this opportunity and all these doors were open. However, that the longevity in the opportunities, I'm starting to notice, especially within social media, that it's slowing down. I'm finding more and more content creators who started back when before we started, but then also who were able to benefit from that extreme amount of investment, are starting to feel a little lost. Starting to feel that they don't really know what the point of their journey is. They mm-hmm. understood what it was in the beginning, but now again, as people evolve, as missions change, as interests change, we're starting to ask the question, what is it all for? Or what am I supposed to do? Or what am I even doing? Mm-hmm. So it all comes back to that, what you were saying, being inspired, the question of, what inspires me and why do I feel so uninspired? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that the feeling uninspired just comes from, like you mentioned, like 2020, we were like, all right, that we each, I'll speak for myself. I found my lane or two mm-hmm. or three. Let's say there were three lanes that I was kind of, you know, taking up at that time. So I'm writing, I'm, you know, getting into my WSET bag, and I'm also I'm teaching people in an approachable way about wine, via social media, via virtual tastings, whatever have you. And so that sprint really all of 20, most of 2020, all of 2021, by the time I got to 2022, I'm just like, all right, G, we're and this is like complete honesty. I spent 3 weeks in Europe last May, so I was in I started in Chablis, so did a press trip in Chablis, bopped over to Spain and Penedès, and then came back to the Loire Valley. All amazing experiences. Got back to Chicago, and I had a couple other, it was just a lot of travel last year. And I was freelancing. So I started freelancing full time August 2021, all of 2022, up until probably like October, I was freelancing. So I'm traveling, I'm, doing this, doing that, creating content. And I started to feel overwhelmed by it all. And the reason why, I'm glad you asked that, because I was just reviewing some old journal entries like around this time last
Love
year and the
it.
year before. And I was like, wow, I was in such a different headspace. And like last year, this time, I was just like, okay, I, got back into the workforce. I'm working full time now, but how do I find the balance between wine and, this career that I want to build? And so, really, 2023 for me has been all about resetting the stage, reimagining how I want to show up, revisiting dreams and ideas that I've had, that include, writing books, that include potentially opening a brick and mortar, like a coffee bar, wine bar situation. So just like, I think that's where I'm at in this rediscovery phase. It's like, okay, let's go back to some of these notes apps, note things that the notes app, but also like journal entries and things I've told friends that friends are coming back to me, like, so what happened to X or what happened to Y or where is Z? And, taking all of that in stride, but also being realistic and like looking at the world around me and being like, okay, the economy is, it's a little shaky right now. People aren't spending, people are still are spending right now, but they're not spending as much. And then also looking at the industry continues to change. Like from this year, I think it was one of, it wasn't one of the strongest harvest years. I might be making that up, but I will double. I saw an article somewhere talking about like it wasn't, just globally, it wasn't a good harvest year. And I'm wondering why that is. And I mean, climate comes into play
Actually,
and
yeah. Yep.
yeah.
I
So,
was sitting
I
here
mean,
thinking, 'cause I was not about to say anything unless I had something, but yeah, because I know in France, it's constantly, each year has gotten progressively worse. So
yeah.
yeah.
And that's alarming. It's alarming. And I mean, for the listeners, we'll put the articles in the show notes just so that we're not out here just, talking crazy. I'll share the article. But so just thinking broader and being like, okay, how can I contribute to this ecosystem that continues to change? Obviously, there's always constant talk about, millennials aren't drinking wine, which isn't true
It's
because
not true.
we're patronizing these wine bars. We're pulling up to these wine experiences. But at the same time, y'all keep telling us these things, and we're like, well, shoot, I can go over and drink a High Noon, or I can go over drink 818 tequila if y'all are being like this. But that's where we come in, where it's like, hey, y'all, there's so many beautiful grower champagnes you should try. There's so many wonderful natural wines, and showing love to different grape varieties and hybrid varieties that people don't think about all the time. Like, being able to explore those things. And I think that's what makes me excited. Like, I did a piece on Vidal Blanc, for December issue of Wine Enthusiast for the print issue. And I was so excited to do that. Like, I was like, bet, I know who I'm gonna hit up. Like, I hit up Boy Crew Wines in Maryland. They, you know, bought some of their Vidal Blanc. I talked to he's an adjunct professor at Syracuse, my alma mater, and he teaches the wine appreciation course, which I was never able to get in. But yeah, it was great. Like, every year I could not get into that class. But the crazy thing is, I'm like, now what if I would have gotten into that class? But I still,
everything happens for reasons. Come on, come on,
yeah.
Come on.
So, I say all that to say, it's just revisiting and not giving up on, because this has been placed in my life and on my path for a reason. And right now, I don't feel like it's the time to just put it down. I feel like, you know, God is definitely like, girl, there's still more I can use you here. We just got, let's keep figuring it out.
The last time we talked about this, you were very uneasy about it. Like, you were kind of, it wasn't that you were ready to necessarily give up, but you were definitely leaning to, I'm not sure if this is what I need to be doing right now. I think it's time to pivot onto something else. And it's really encouraging to hear what you're saying and how you're saying it, because I think that's an important part of rediscovering or finding that inspiration, is understanding that you have to almost ride that wave of, I'm not sure what's going on. I know that it's time for something new, but it also might be time to revisit something old, right? Going back to your journals and understanding your old visions, because I've been doing the same thing, girl. My time here in France has been nothing but studying and reimagining the future, which I'm very excited for 2024 because of that. But like you said, there are some dreams and goals that I had prior to social media really taking the forefront of my life. And the longevity in social media is, it's different. Unless you are someone who wants to constantly create a specific form of content, you almost have to be open to, again, reimagining what your relationship with social media, which for me, I think I'm always going to be here because, honey, you cannot have a business and not be in social media. Let me just go ahead and say that for someone who's sick and tired of being sick and tired, figure out your balance, because you still gonna have to be here. But investing in other avenues that inspire you and pique your interest. And I think what you're saying is essentially what I think is important for people who are in the same wavelength as us, is understanding what that next level is. But sometimes that next level isn't necessarily something brand spanking new. It's just a revitalized dream based off of the experience that you've gained during that time, right? So talk to me, because you're shaking your head. Yes, give it to me.
Yeah, I think it's so, there's two things. So the point about social media, there's an article, a recent article of The Atlantic, that speaks to millennials feeling like they don't, there's like a ceiling we've hit when it comes to social, especially those of us who like remember joining Facebook. I'm speaking myself, joining Facebook in high school, who remember Tagged, which was like my sophomore year of high school. So we were like, you know, we remember social media in its infancy. So like 2000, like MySpace, like we remember that time. And so we've seen this evolution of people sharing their lives. And now it's gotten to a point for me personally, where it's like overload, it's sensory overload, and people are oversharing. And it's like, hey,
not even just oversharing. If you are in a place of influence, they expect you to overshare.
Yeah. And it's like, no.
Boundaries.
Completely. Because I feel like there has, like, life, there are sweet moments that aren't always going to come to fruition online. Like, it's fine to, you know, take some time off and just live and just enjoy, and, you know, still take pictures and take video and capture moments. But it's also like, I don't have to report everything to, you know, however many people follow me on social media. And so I think For me, to your point about like building a relationship with social, I've come to the point where it's like these avenues, whether it be Twitter slash X, Instagram, Substack, like these are channels for me to share, my personality and my interest in wine and, maybe a little sprinkle about what's going on in my personal life, just a little
Little sprinkle.
sprinkle. But nothing like too intense. Like I've seen, certain accounts where it's just like, gosh, you've shared a lot that I didn't need to know. But okay. So that's social. So just like you said, thinking about how to have a healthy relationship with social media and not feel like you have to do X to keep up with everybody else. The other point I'm finding is that being able to have like interests outside of wine.
Talk about it.
So I full-time marketing director for a nonprofit newsroom here in Chicago, which keeps me on my toes every day. But I realized that like I've been able to glean experiences from the work that I've done, marketing myself as a wine professional, being a journalist, and how, we can improve what we're doing as a publication and how we're communicating with different communities across the city. And so I think being able to, have interests outside of wine to really just enjoy it, like to open a bottle and not have to examine it in the 5 points of examination. I'm
Or
just
post
opening
it.
it to hello, like just feeling like I can, like I was in Napa 2 weeks ago for a friend's wedding, and we went to Tank Garage Winery, and I sat there, and these are all friends from high school, and I was like, y'all, this is the first time in a while when I've just been able to enjoy a tasting. Like I'm taking notes because it's out of habit, but I'm like, this is just fun. And granted, they all know that I'm in wine, but I didn't want to lead with that. Like we're here enjoying the tasting. The young lady who was, leading our tasting did an incredible job. Like I was just like, I'm here to enjoy because I don't
Come
get
on.
to do that all the time. Everybody's like, oh, you got to come and do I have to come and do that though? Can
You
I just come
know,
and have
but that's the
fun?
element that people don't remember. So being a journalist, being a influencer, being a wine educator, but really put more emphasis on that social media aspect where I had to, before I got into wine, I was definitely a follow ghost. Oh, what do they used to say? A ghost follower. Boom. Okay. Sound like an old lady. Just swap them real quick. But I was the kind of person who I wasn't really active on social media. And then of course, once my life went into that route, and of course, yes, I was still doing my tastings and doing wine education and all of that, there was still this component of social media that mattered, right? And what I found was I ended up having to go to a ther my therapist, and my therapist was like, "You aren't taking a break from social media. When you go to a wine tasting, I would have friends, even my mom, Lord, I love you, mom, but jeez, when you would go out, they would order wine for the table because they know what you do. They would actually try to set it up so that if you wanted to take pictures, and you almost felt obligated to a point to take pictures, to take notes, to remember every detail because you might end up using that for content. When you open up your phone, people naturally just go to social media just to say whatever, but you can't help because you follow all of these wine brands and other influencers. And so then you get sucked into the life. It became very difficult to take a break from it all, right? But I love what you're saying of finding interest outside of wine, because I think that's really where you will, number one, once you take a brain break, you'll be able to think clearly. You'll be able to even possibly find some inspiration. But I think outside of wine, you find other interests that even could come back into it. So I want to know. Because what I end up doing, I end up going to therapy. I mean, yes, I did go to therapy, but I also started doing yoga, and I started writing again and creating these stories and all of that. What were some of the interests outside of wine that has inspired you? Whether that's, you know, going back to wine journalism or not, what interests have brought you some peace of mind?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think my love for books, like just my love for reading, has definitely allowed me to remain curious. So like I have a stack of, somebody called it an emotional book stack.
Emotional book stack.
Yeah.
Break it down.
Along the, like, just I have a stack. I have so many books and I've always loved reading. And so just like enjoying, and not just the, you know, the self-help or the, you know, the have a, you know, Black women writers at work, set boundaries, find peace. Like, not, I mean, those books are great, but also like Crazy Rich Asians or,
yes,
you know, While We Were Dating by Jasmine Guillory. I love all of her books. I've read almost all of them except for her first one, which is strange. I've never read The Wedding Date. But digging back into like fiction, and I've gotten into audiobooks. So like right yes. now, although Spotify's being a hater because they put like yes. a limit on how much audio you can
really?
How much of an audiobook you can listen to in a month. Yeah, that was a hater.
But
move.
Why do that when you can just go to Audible? Okay. Sorry.
Right. So I'm currently Yikes. Listening to Will Smith's biography.
Mm-hmm.
And just, we know he's animated, but the way he tells his story, my goodness. Like, I will say this because I said this to somebody else, but I started listening to Jada Pinkett Smith's Lord. Audiobook.
Hot topics.
And then I was like, boop, she brings up Will, and I said, let me go listen to his, because obviously his book came out first, and they're the same age, but even so, I was like, let me go listen to it, because hers is like very soft spoken, but his is like he rapping and he's animated. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'm enjoying this. So like, get in addition to, you know, reigniting my love for reading, and you know, I have to do a better job like at making time to go to the library. Like, I put a whole bunch of books on hold. I love like end of year book lists, because I'm just like, oh, what haven't I read? What do I need to read? So like, rediscovering my love for reading, getting into like biographies. So like, yes. Will Smith's biography. I do want to read Matthew Perry's biography, rest in peace. I have John H. Johnson, the founder of Ebony. I have his biography. I'm going to run that back.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's fascinating to me. Storytelling is fascinating to me. So like, stepping out of the realm of journalism, because I am a journalist and I also work for a journalism organization, it's overwhelming. So I'm just like, let me just read for fun and enjoy it.
And figure out what's fascinating you to you. Because I think that's what the question, or what the next question you're inspiring is, when you feel uninspired, what fascinates you? And don't be stuck on whatever has worked for you in the past. Ask yourself currently, what intrigues you? That's what I'm receiving, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I often find when I'm kind of in like a creative rut, or I'm just feeling uninspired, I will ask and re-ask my parents, like, what did I do? What was I interested in as a kid? Like, y'all tell me these stories about like, and this makes sense because now I'm in media, but like, I remember my dad one time was like, we would sit your car seat in front of TV and just, you would watch it. And I'm like, well, it makes sense why I'm like so fascinated by ads and marketing. Like, thanks, y'all. But my mom was also like, you loved like to color, you loved art. And so like, I have coloring books. Sometimes I just throw on music and I go and I color. And I also puzzles, like the thinking aspect of putting a puzzle together, like that's fascinating to me. And that kind of gets my brain working in a different way. And language. Mm-hmm. So us talking right now, I also, when I'm thinking about what, as my younger self, what I enjoy, I loved Spanish all throughout middle school, high school. So now I'm on Duolingo. And it's so much fun because I'm like, well, shoot, where is this going to lead? Am I going to move to Spain, Mexico, another Spanish-speaking country? Like, who knows where that might lead? But just this ability to get my brain excited in a different way, is how I'm just, able to be re-inspired. So maybe, doing Duolingo is like, okay, we're gonna rediscover some Spanish wines, or maybe we'll slide and, finally go to Mexico because everybody's been talking about it, and just go explore that for fun, but also out of curiosity. And maybe it's not even going to these places physically, but right here in Chicago, there's tons of restaurants, there's tons of bars, and tons of opportunities for me to just like explore these, parts of the world right in my backyard. So, just remaining open and not closing myself off and being like, oh, well, I'm a journalist, so I need to pitch 15 different publications. No, because baby, it's the end of the year and I'm tired. So I will ask these editors that I've cultivated relationships with, like, hey, y'all looking for pitches? And they'll be like, yeah, sure. And I will just continue to, foster that relationship, but also challenge myself to step outside of like the norm and maybe like pitch a, New Yorker or the Atlantic or, the New York Times, just so I can challenge my pen a little bit. But yeah, just remain, I think remaining open, and we get so inundated by the news and so much is going on. So just like finding that joy where I
Girl,
can,
you took it. You was in my
finding
brain.
that.
You said joy, because that's what I'm receiving. And I hope that anyone who is listening to you understands what you are really saying. At least what I'm receiving, you're truly saying, which is, I think since the pandemic, and when our careers really started taking off, everything became about the work, about how much content, about the frequency of it, the quality of it, just push, push, push. And what happened was the joy within it started to deteriorate to a certain degree, right? And I love what you're saying, because what you actually just described to me was the things that brought you joy, what you had passion about, you started to kind of feel lost in it. So what you did was you did some pivots, not sure where to go. Again, we're riding that wave. But then you went back to even childhood to ask yourself, what made me smile even when I was a kid? What made me feel inspired in a mindless kind of way? Just, I can draw and listen to music and feel okay. I can read a book and go into a whole nother world, or listen to someone else's story and be excited even in how they're having that storytelling moment. And what you accidentally kind of fell into was you found the things that brought you joy. And then the thing that used to bring you joy, you dialed it back and said, let me just do it this way. And it's just you, it to me, the whole picture that you just described was so powerful, because you found a formula of going back to the beginning of what you wanted to do, and you found a way to do it your way. And that's what we struggle with in today's crazy world of information, where everything, we're just overstimulated. We live in a world where we're completely overstimulated, and it's about slowing down and figuring out, what can I do to make me feel at peace in the space that I'm in? That's what I receive. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
come on.
think just being able to, like you said, find that joy. And like, I mean, I'm obviously, listeners can't see me, but I'm smiling ear to ear. And like, because that's the truth. Like,
Yeah.
after, just a year of, so much, and us being as a culture and a society downtrodden is the best word, with so many images and just so much negative news, and this is happening there and this is happening here. Like, you have to create that oasis for yourself, not to, isolate yourself from the world, but just as a way to be like, oh, okay, I'm human and I can, have really cool interests, and I don't have to be in this particular box, my
Oh, say it
socials,
again. You don't have to be in this particular box.
particular box. Yeah. So if you go to my socials, particularly Instagram, yeah, you'll see all wine stuff. Because that's just honestly the space I've decided to dedicate for wine things. But if you hang out with me in real life, if you have the chance to,
If you're
you know,
blessed
we'll
with the opportunity to be in Chastity's presence.
I mean, you'll find just are outside of that. Like, I love spending time with my family. I love, you know, I will talk about Chicago because it's just such a fascinating place. And, you know, something I've had to do for myself to move away from the work, especially at the end of this year, as we draw close to the end of the year, I've, you know, taken every Friday off so I can do something different for myself. So today, I'll probably just like find a wine bar, bring a book, and just like, or my journal and chill. Like, I'll hang out with friends. I'll go to a museum. Luckily, it's not too cold yet here. So maybe it's just walking around downtown and admiring the busyness of the city, the architecture, all these different things that can spark inspiration. And just living life truly is really, you know, living life and not feeling the need to scroll, take a picture and post it. While that's great, and I, you know, shout out to the people who do that on a regular basis. Your
Child.
tenacity is amazing, 'cause wow. Just to enjoy this, be in the moment and enjoy and be present. So yeah, I think there's a lot of joy in that, and I'm so grateful that I can say on December 1st, you know, I've been able to make pockets of joy for myself this year.
I'm happy to hear it. I mean, this is the season of joy. Okay, let's talk about it. I'm really happy for you, and I'm just gonna have to say it. Everybody who's listening, we had a different episode that we recorded, and my computer decided to just stop, and I had no idea. I mean, I've been eyeballing the timer now because I'm like, you will not get me again. But our conversation from that time and this is light years different. And it's insane to me how a short amount of time you could have a mind shift that, not that you weren't positive back then, because you were definitely positive and working towards what you were trying to figure out and do. But the level of peace that I receive is what's encouraging. And I want any person who feels lost, any person who's trying to figure out what that next step is, any person who, you know, they know what their passions are, but they are still trying to just figure it out, that so much can change in a matter of weeks if you just stay diligent, if you keep doing what Chassie's doing, which is seeking out what brings you joy and being open to whatever that pivot is going to be. Because sometimes the pivot is just going right back to what the mission was to begin with. And maybe it's a birth of something else that's fresh and new, right? So, how can we support you? How can we support Chastity Cooper and all that she's doing?
Yes. So, I moved my newsletter. I think I might have said this, to Substack, which I'm enjoying that. Like, it's very like almost like blog posty, but it's also a newsletter. So I've been enjoying, again, like writing every week. So using that platform has been cool. So brightandbalanced.substack.com, every Thursday I'll be in your inbox. How else? Honestly, when I post, you know, when I do post on Instagram, whether it be like sponsor content or content that I just come up with, yeah, just like, share, comment, that helps. And yeah, I mean, honestly, like, just being able to have interest in wine and to talk about it, I'm just grateful that people listen. Like, I'm still surprised that people are like, Chastity, like, what should we drink? You asking me for real? Like,
We trust you.
okay.
We know you know
So
what you're talking about.
yeah, so like leaning into that. So, you know, if people have questions, especially around the holidays, people are like, what do I drink? Like, what goes with what? I have written a lot of articles that I'll be sharing on my newsletters this month about, holiday time and pairings for, different holiday scenarios. And also just like revisiting wines that I've had over the last couple years and just talking about like, going to places like Tank Garage Winery or Lang and Reed or Banshee. Like this is all like Napa driven, but also like, discovering places here in Chicago. Like there have been a lot of wine bars. I'm just remember the name of one of my favorites that closed a couple years ago. It's called Income Tax. That was the name of it. Yeah. So there was this wine bar in, I want to say it's Edgewater. Let's say it's a neighborhood here in Chicago. And I remember coming home in 2019 and I was like, where are the wine bars? Where are the wine girlies hanging? And very fly, kind of old school vibe. It's called Income Tax. And they closed last May. A lot of people went through it during the pandemic, but reimagining what does a wine bar look like in 2024, 2025? Like, how are people engaging in wine? Do they want the traditional sit down, tasting menu, or do step and
Uh-oh,
just
you went out for a second. Or what?
I said, or do they want to gather, two step, be able to have audible conversations with their friends in a relaxed setting? So I'm thinking about my city. I'm thinking about my generation and how we're interacting with fermented grape juice, because it's such, I love it. I love wine so much. I really do. If I could drink it every day, which you can in moderation.
You can. I don't listen. I say that with my whole chest, 'cause y'all not gonna shun every places, especially in Europe. I love to use Italy as an example of that. You can drink wine every day, but culturally in Italy, it's almost like when you drink to overconsumption, they look at you like, why would you even need to do that?
That's wild. Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay to have a glass every day. Just
Yeah. And we Americans, that's the
okay.
problem. Like, it's just like, oh, I gotta drink a bottle. No, babe,
You don't. You
you
could have a
don't.
glass.
You can have a glass or two and then hit the bed
You know?
and get some water while you at it. So yeah, all that to say, I will share this with you. Because by the time it'll come out, hopefully I'll have the advanced copy. So I wrote a little ditty. I wrote a book.
Come on, Diddy.
So I wrote a book. It came about via another person, another friend who's in the wine and spirit space. But it was a fun project to do earlier this year. I should be getting the advanced copy today or early next week. So yeah, I will just put that out there. Definitely subscribe to my newsletter for more information on
And you
that.
know that I am. So y'all, and we will put, I'll put your link and everything in the description for everyone too.
Yeah, so I'm just thankful, Isis. I'm so proud of you. Like, you're living the dream. You're doing, just incredible work, not only for the industry and for the culture, but also just like for Black women and wine. And I feel like, we both can, while we started in 2020, really just like getting in our bag, we have, incredible Black women who have come before us. And it's been so inspiring to see so many more Black women get into wine. So I just wanted to, give you your flowers and thank you for, trusting yourself to create this platform, inviting me on to share my story, and just really creating space for us to rethink how we show up for ourselves and show up in this industry.
Thank you, girl. Seriously, and I mean it. And by the way, y'all, we're gonna have to round out because my roommate done came home and decided he gonna blast music. So here we are. I do want to say thank you, because I recognize how important it is for women in wine to come together, for Black women in wine to come together. But honestly, we can put industry, we can put, background and culture to the side. It's important for humans in general to come together and to support someone that you respect and that you know is making impact and someone that you believe in. And I do believe in you, Chastity. So I will always be in your corner, girl. Okay. We going to make it happen. And when that book come out, I'm buying my book. Okay. Send me the link so I can give you okay. I don't want a free book. Let me pay for it. And I'm excited to read and even, you know, have you come back on and talk about it. Let's do that.
Absolutely. Okay. For sure.
All right. Thank you. So I love y'all, but we're going to go ahead and get to this next segment. I'll talk to y'all soon. Boop, boop. So tell me that wasn't an amazing interview. Like, don't even tell me it wasn't, because we both know that it was. Because my girl, Chastity, she was coming in with nothing but facts and great wisdom to help encourage you throughout whatever period of your journey you are, right? And I definitely will say, as a creative and someone who is within this wine social media space, I as well had to go through a lot to redefine who I am. And I'm very grateful to say, and I want to say, that when we had the interview, Chastity encouraged me in the space that I was in. I was very lost while I was out in France trying to figure things out. But then even since being back and redefining my mission within this space, and also being comfortable with, you know, embracing what were my old dreams? What was the core of what I've always been doing? And the bottom line, I am in the business of people. Yes, I might use wine as my vehicle, but I am here to make sure that people feel seen, feel encouraged, and feel empowered to be whoever they are, wherever they are. So thank you, Chastity, for joining me today, or that day. And, you know, of course, having the opportunity to release this podcast when your book was actually available. Because if you don't know, I have my hands, I'm touching, I am caressing my book right now. So please make sure that you guys go to the description of this podcast to learn more about Chastity and how to support her. But more importantly, go out, get her book, and support this Black woman making great strides within this industry. Again, I love you guys, and I'll see y'all next week, because y'all, we getting ready to get down and dirty in this culture conversation, okay? All right, I love you guys, and I'll hear from y'all. Y'all see me, whatever, on these social media streets, but you'll hear from me from next week, okay? Let's go.